When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Mark Zeno's in for Mike today. Hope you're having a good holiday so far. Maybe it's just starting for you to get some time off. We appreciate you being here, hanging out with us. Of course, you can always hit us up because we've been spending a lot of time today talking about the Falcons win yesterday. It is a Falcon Monday at 404-726-0929. Coming up, we're going to hear from Matthew Judon. Zeno, we said it. We had a Judon sighting. Now, he gets that tip ball from Harrison, takes it to the house. It was nice.
Tip ball!
You get two pick sixes, and those are the things we've been looking forward to seeing from Matthew Judon. But he's not had the kind of effect on the defense that we thought he would. Either way, I hope that some of this stuff that we're seeing, the sack numbers are up, defense creating turnovers, we said that. During that losing streak, guys, where we couldn't get out of our own way, Zeno, we didn't create any turnovers. So there's a lot to be excited about. But I think the biggest thing is what you saw from Michael Penix. Poll questions up at Dukes and Bell 929 where you can go vote as we're asking you, how do you feel today about Penix's performance, but more importantly, just the team in generally speaking. And I think a lot of people, it gives you confidence to know, hey, rookie stepped in, did a really good job. You can go vote at Dukes and Bell 929, and a lot of guys are hitting us up saying, hey, man, I feel really good about what I saw, but I need to see more. Well, you're going to. Commanders, Carolina, if we get into the playoffs, we'll see more. Falcons are back 100% is one of the things you can vote on at Dukes and Bell 929, asking you how do you feel about Penix's performance and the team. 50-50, good, but need to see more, or meaningless result, because Zeno has said the Giants are a terrible football team.
Yeah, not very good. Don't provide a lot of competition, and everybody should beat them at this point in time. Not taking anything away from Penix and what he did exactly what you needed him to do, played very well, brought some calm and stability to the offense. It didn't look disjointed. It looked like a flow to everything that they were doing. And look, he delivers a really nice ball, right? Like, I think
he does.
You got that sense right away, like, you know, on time, on target, you know, he looked really, really good. So there's nothing to question with him so far, but we'll get a different set of answers to the question next week when they play a little bit of a different opponent. Now, I hope we get all the same answers, that he looked really good and that he played really well and he had a lot of poise and composure and the offense doesn't look disjointed and he did well with pressure and, you know, was able to handle blitzes and pick it up and things of that. And that's part of it. You know, that's part of the learning curve and the growing curve, because every defensive coordinator, at least one's worth their salt, and Belichick used to do this better than anybody, which is why he used to eat rookie quarterbacks for lunch. He threw exotic blitzes and everything he could at you as often as he could at you. Because guess what? It's just not enough tape time for these guys.
Sure.
They haven't seen enough live football. They don't know these opponents that way. You could study all the film in the world for a week on one opponent, and they still got something you haven't seen coming at you. So it's just experience and everything else and how they handle it, and we'll find that out next week against a guy who's been pretty good at drawing up exotic schemes for his defenses over the years.
Yeah, DQ's been a great defensive coordinator.
100%.
Okay? He's got Super Bowl ring, being a DC. I mean, like that, as a head coach, we're still figuring out whether how good he's going to be. But he came here and took us to a Super Bowl.
Lunatically all gas, no brakes.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let's hear from Coach Ra after the game with our own Dave Archer. Here's what Coach Ra had to say.
Raheem joins me now here in the Falcon locker room. Workmanlike performance by your team, including your kid quarterback. He played like a pro today.
You know, those guys really rallied behind him. We did a nice job putting the game plan for him. He did a nice job going out there and executing it, and I couldn't be more pleased with the way the whole team played. Offense, defense, and special teams really stepped up.
Raheem, when you stand on the sidelines and you see what number 7 does, Bijan Robinson, and some of, you know, 4 or 5 yard run, but to make 3 or 4 guys miss and do what he does, I mean, I marvel at this guy.
He's special, man. It feels like every time he gets the ball, he's going to break it. and you just sit in the sideline and you're watching him run, and he's just poetry in motion. And like the guys love him, we love him. You couldn't ask for a better human, and he just does such a great job for us.
You've played really good defense since the bye week for the most part, and this was another exemplary performance. Before you subbed a bunch of guys in, I think they had 130 yards of offense. Tell me about the defense.
You know, stats are for losers. But I was really pleased with the defensive effort today, going out there, scoring a couple touchdowns, being able to get the ball back for our offense, consistently getting off the grass. You know, we get a chance to hit the quarterback nowadays, and like, we are really playing well as a team, and like, that's where you want to start peaking right about now. You know, it is what it is, man. I can't be more proud of the team and what they were able to accomplish today.
Yeah, you got 2 for 3 in the field goal. I know you'd like to go 100% there, but the young kid stepped in, or not a young kid, he's been around for a while, but he stepped in and was able to nail a few for
it. It's like I told him, that first one was terrible and the rest of them were good. And that's the only stat I need to know. He went out there and he made the kicks. You know, obviously probably had some nerves to get off and got those things off, got it in our stadium, and that's what we're gonna have happen for the kid.
Pretty good Christmas gift for you to get you in this position at 8-7. Tell me about what the message will be the next couple of days as you get ready to go. Still kind of scoreboard watching, but you guys got to take care of your own business.
You know, really, it's about the Washington Commanders that we got to get ready to move on to. You know, Quinn's going to have those guys ready to go, and we got to be ready to go on a big-time Sunday night football game.
Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas, man. Have a good one.
Speaking of kicking, we hadn't really discussed this, you know. He's right. First one, I was like, oh, goodness gracious. And then, you know, new kicker came through as Koo is on the IR, guys. But this is a big part of this. Like, you got to be able to trust your kicker in these games, especially down the stretch. I don't know. I feel like that part of our game has taken a hit. And I'm just simply talking about field goals, extra points.
I mean, again, you notice that he sent Riley out there for, what was it? I think the first one was a 50-plus yard attempt. Koo wasn't getting sent out there for that. And again, the kicking issue was a big part of the losing streak.
It was.
In my opinion, Younghoe Koo cost you 2 games.
Okay.
And look, the way events unfold, you win those 2 games, I guarantee you Michael Penix is not starting. You win the Saints game, win the Chargers game, Michael Penix isn't in. It's still Kirk Cousins because you're in a position where you've already locked up the division. The way Tampa, if everything played out the same, assuming, you know, with Tampa Bay as they went along, with Tampa Bay's loss last night, you win the division and it's over. And so, you know, unfortunately it didn't work out that way, but, you know, when your kicker is in question, and this is what I hammered Ra on for the past couple of weeks during the whole thing, and he admitted it changes the way you coach the game. And that's a problem.
It does.
You have to be able to know in certain spots, I'm going for a field goal here, and I'm taking the 3 points and feel secure that those 3 points are going to come through for you. And if you have to question, again, the reason why you go for it on 4th and 5 with a 51-yard field goal is because you don't trust your kicker. That's a problem because, again, you're putting everybody else at a disadvantaged spot. And that's what happened in the Chargers game. You know, and you didn't want to punt it. You wanted to stay aggressive. You wanted to go chase points. Okay, I get it. But if you trust your kicker, you send him out there, you take the 3 points, and the game turns out much differently.
Yeah. The last 2 games, you know, he took the ball, right? We're not talking about this weekend, but the 2 previous games with the intent to go score, to get some points on the board. Forget about deferring. And literally, you get screwed by getting down there and not being able to hit field goals to get your points on the board. So you're absolutely right. I think it changed the way he decided to go for certain things that he wanted to and didn't. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear from Jesse Bates, man. Big pick 6 for him yesterday. This is Arch with Jesse Bates after the game.
Jess, this was a heck of an effort by all the whole team. First of all, I want to ask you about the quarterback. You knew there was a lot of change. There was a lot of conversation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
About the quarterback, you're a veteran guy in there. What did you do from a leadership standpoint to kind of steady the ship a little bit?
Yeah, just talking to the defensive side and just having the understanding of, you know, we got a rookie quarterback now and we got to be able to make him feel comfortable, get the ball back multiple times to make him feel comfortable in his first game as a starter. So, that's my locker mate. So we've had conversations throughout the whole season, and I think he prepared very well, and he's ready for this moment.
This is our Solomon Brothers player of the game, by the way, Jesse Bates. And by the way, another interception and another touchdown for this guy. Walk me through that. You came across the formation with what looked like man coverage, obviously deked him. Mm-hmm. You set on the route. Tell me about what you made to play.
Yeah, like you said, we're showing man-to-man. And, D. Alford, he's continued to grow every single week. And him just being able to get the communication out that we're going to be in zone in that instance. And just getting my drop, doing my 1-11, and then breaking off the quarterback. Props to D. Alford for getting us in that call, and shout out to the D line for getting pressure. I think Caden had pressure again, and myself, my hands work. So it's something about these red helmets, man, and pick sixes with our defense. So we need to keep wearing our throwback unis for sure.
24 career interceptions for this guy. He's only played 32 games as an Atlanta Falcon. He's got 10 interceptions in those 32 games. That's what he does. All right, so tell me about the defensive effort since the bye week. You guys have come back with a different kind of resolve. You're getting after the passer. You're taking the football away. You're limiting the run game. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Yeah, that's what good teams do. You figure out what are you doing good, what are you doing wrong, and we did a really good job of just self-scouting ourselves throughout the bye week, and then coming in after the bye, I think our meetings just got so much better, and it's definitely showed on the field. Just all the details that we've been, with the rush game plan, we get more sacks, we're getting more interceptions. All that stuff comes from details inside our meeting room and then us going to apply it on the field. So it's good to see.
All right. Big question for you. This is the big question of the night. Christmas shopping done?
Not yet. Rise up. We're good.
Well, we got a little something for you. The Solomon Brothers player of the game, Jesse Bates. Another big game from our veteran safety. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Rise up, baby.
Yeah. He's just damn good, man. And, he picks his spots, but that was a big momentum play, the pick six. And you just felt like, okay, we're in control. Now how do we control the rest of the game? Like, what happens? How much are you going to put on Penix? And I thought at that point when that play happened, you just felt like, okay, we're going to do what we need to do. And then it turns into a blowout. 34-7 is the final score. Giants really never threatened. Like, that interception to start the second half, too.
Yeah.
The Judon, return for a touchdown, it just took the air. It's like they got punched in the belly and they were done.
Yeah, well, which at that point you were asking Drew Lock to throw you back in the game.
Yep.
And that's not a recipe for winning at all, because Drew Lock throwing the football is not a recipe for anything other than the other team to get interceptions. And he proved that for us quite verily. So, again, I would argue, pending, the totality of Michael Penix's career in a Falcons uniform, Jesse Bates has been the best move this front office has made.
Period.
Terry Fontenot, and that includes drafting Drake and Bijan.
Period.
That he has been the best move this front office has made.
Yeah. He's done so much more, and I think to your point, the leadership aspect of things, but he's also making plays, and that's what matters, right? You got to make plays, and he's made a ton of plays. And to come here and be an all-pro safety, like,
The Falcons, have they ever had an all-pro safety?
They've
had an all-pro corner. Who's the all-pro safety? Was it...
I'm trying to think.
Trufant was a corner.
No. I'm trying to think.
We got to go back before then?
Yeah. We're going back to like 12.
Dunta Robinson?
No. But we'll discuss when we come back. We're going to come back. We're going to hear from Michael Penix. We'll hear from Matthew Judon. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a Falcon Monday. By the way, Deontay Johnson was picked up by the Texans today. This is his fourth team, by the way. Steelers, Carolina.
This year.
Baltimore, and now Houston. Houston does that because of the injury to Tank Dell. So that news coming down today. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Zeno's in for Mike today as we've been talking about the Falcons, and we're going to let you hear from Michael Penix and Matthew Judon coming up here in just a minute. We were discussing the all-pro safety discussion because we were talking about Bates and how important he is. And you asked me about, you know, who else has been the all-pro safety. And the first name that came to my mind, I was thinking about in 2012, was Willie Moe.
Willie Moore.
Right? But he wasn't. He wasn't all-pro. He was a pro bowler, but he wasn't an all-pro.
And we're talking first-team all-pro, the one that matters.
Correct.
Now, last year, Jesse Bates was a second-team all-pro, which means you didn't really make an all-pro team. The all-pro is one team. They do a second and a third, you know, for kicks and giggles to acknowledge guys. But and in reality, the Falcons have never had an all first-team all-pro safety in their entire team history.
So what's crazy is when you start talking about first-team all-pro, Jamal Anderson in 98, duh.
Mm-hmm.
Vic Beasley in 2016, all-pro, first team.
Yep.
John Abraham, right? The Predator, obviously, 2010, all-pro, right? Those make sense. You mentioned Julio Jones two times, 15 and 16, all-pro, first team.
Deion twice.
Yeah, I mean, but as far as corners, yeah.
That's it. Yeah, you have one other DB.
Tony Gonzalez, first-team All-Pro in 2012.
Roland Lawrence in 1977 was a first-team All-Pro corner.
Yeah, and somebody mentioned Scott Case. A buddy of mine hit me up. He said, what about Scott Case?
Nope.
No. And he was great. Like, there have been some really good players that have played.
I mean, Matt Ryan only made one first-team All-Pro the year he won the MVP.
Yeah. And so that's what's crazy about it. But Jesse Bates, man, he's been incredible. And to your point, I think he could be and should be this year as you talk about his impact on this team. Let's hear from Michael Penix because he is the talk right now as far as the Falcons are concerned, how he handled things. What did he have to say after the game? He was joined.
Michael, everybody talking about, okay, young guy, first start, all kinds of – you look like you've been doing it all along.
Yeah, man. It's just the preparation, the work that I put in each and every day. You know, just always staying ready for the moment. I'm blessed to come out with a win today. You know, the defense played a heck of a game. You know, two touchdowns on the defense side of the ball. And then the offensive line doing a wonderful job protecting me so I can get the ball to the playmaker. So, man, it's a blessing. So.
You get a chance to stand there and hand a football to number seven. And he does some stuff with the ball. I mean, you got an angle that's unbelievable. Tell me about what you see.
Man, it's special, man. What he does, you know, the way he makes people miss, you know, man, he like they say he can make somebody miss in a phone booth, man. It's true, man. You see him out there each and every day. He does it in practice. You know, he works extremely hard, and man, he's just such a blessing to have on the team. So,
how proud are you of yourself from a preparation standpoint? You've been waiting for 15 weeks to get in, but you've been going through all the paces, reading things. When you're standing behind Kirk Becker, you're reading stuff in practice. I talked about how it looked like you've been doing it all along. I mean, you're going from set read to read to read. I know you'll probably give Zach a lot of credit and probably TJ a lot of credit, but tell me about how comfortable you felt.
Yeah, I felt very comfortable. You know, like I said, it's a lot to do with my preparation. You know, Z-Rob and TJ and DJ Williams, you know, they all do a great job, you know, just helping us stay prepared, you know, and always ready for the moment. And also Kirk as well, you know, just seeing how he operated throughout these first 14 weeks and, you know, the way that he operated each and every day, you know, just learning stuff, you know, just as far as when to get to the next read and, you know, how to cancel stuff out so I can be able to make big-time plays. So, you know, it's a credit to all of them, you know, so.
Having played the position, I know it looks cool when you sit up and look up on the Jumbotron and your defense is scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, man, it's great. It's great, man. It's no better feeling, man. Jesse, he's my locker mate. He told me he got me this week, and man, he showed up big, and I was one screaming loud as I could for him. You know, I was super excited. You know, the defense did a great job. So.
All right, Christmas coming up. You got all the Christmas shopping done?
Yes, I do. I actually do.
Okay.
Everything is done.
Okay, everything's set?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there he is. Well, Michael Penix gave us a Christmas present, got us a W in his first time out. First time the rookie quarterback's won his first start since Matt Ryan. How about that? Appreciate
yes,
you, man.
I appreciate it.
Good stuff with Dave Archer. I was going to say Arch grabbing Penix after the game. Listen, and I think everybody's excited for him. I told you guys this last week. If you're not, you're not a Falcon fan. Like, you're not somebody that's invested and wants to see the best for this football team to not be excited for an opportunity for the eighth overall pick. And you know, you hear Arch talk about the first win for a rookie quarterback. Well, we haven't had one. We haven't had a first-round rookie quarterback since Matt Ryan. So that is cool for him, and I hope he puts all this in his back pocket, man. But he's got to continue to grow and get better each and every week. And Zeno and I were discussing, you know, when do you know? Like, how many games does it take for you to say, okay, I'm sold? One game's not enough, obviously. You got a good start, good foundation. But I also said if we win out and we get into the playoffs and he plays well, I think it's a testament to we absolutely got the right guy and we've got one that we can count on moving forward. I don't think we got to wait until next season. Now, if we don't make the playoffs for whatever reason, then, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see where this goes. And you mentioned, you know, the whole Cousins thing and the news that got leaked over the weekend about, you know, what the Falcons are going to do before, you know, the June designated one, what's it, June 1st designation. All that's going to work itself out, guys.
Yeah, you got plenty of time to worry about that. There's no point to even having these conversations right now.
I agree.
Deal with the next two games, deal with the playoff game, and see what happens from there. And, you know, it's a long offseason. We'll spend 3 months dissecting that 800 ways to Sunday.
I agree. Let's hear from Matthew Judon, man, because we've asked a lot of this guy since he came in. And that pick six was big yesterday. Again, it was a tip ball from Harrison. He gets his hands on it, his big paws, and runs into the end zone. It created big-time separation at the start of the second half, and I think it took the win out of the Giants. Whatever chances they thought about coming back were gone once that happened. Here's Judon with Arch.
So what a defensive effort today. I mean, you guys have had a lot of great defensive efforts here since the bye week, really. But tell me about the pick six. It's your first interception of your career. Yeah. Why not go ahead and take it for a touchdown?
Yeah, exactly. I just shout out Zach. I mean, honestly, it wasn't all me. Zach got that big claw up there on the ball, and it just fell into my lap. And I've been working a little punt return, so you know, I just had to find the end zone. It felt good, but honestly, just it's all around defensive effort.
All right, tell me about the end zone before I move on. Tell me about the end zone dance. Where'd that come from?
You know, man, I blacked out. I crossed the line, man. It's my first time, so I had some stuff planned, but I forgot. So I was like, I just can't sit here. So, you know, I'm a dancer. And then, you know, my guys came to surround me. Always you want to think it's me. It really had nothing to do with me. If Zach wasn't there to put his hand up, you know, we don't know where the ball would have been. Yeah. So shout out to Zach. And then, you know, my guys came swarming. And that's what you want, man. You want the defense swarming. You want the defense making plays, high effort.
Well, speaking of swarming, since the bye week, as I mentioned, you guys have limited the run game. You're sacking the quarterback. You're taking the football away from people. Tell me about what's going on with this defense and the way you guys are playing together.
Honestly, I think it start with stopping the run game. You know, once you stop the run, you kind of make them one-dimensional, and then especially when you get up on the scoreboard. So everything helps. It's not just defense. It's defense, offense, and special team. And when we come out there and we play good defense, we get the ball back, we find ways to turn the ball over, and if we score on our own, you know, that definitely helps. So we got to continue to do all three, and we got to continue to improve in all three phases. But on defense, we got to focus and lock in. Make sure we take away, you know, everybody got a great receiver. Take away the number one receiver and make everybody else beat us.
There you go. That applies to next week. I'll ask you real quickly. You know what they've got at quarterback. They've got a guy that can move. What does it take for you guys to keep this pressure on the quarterback with a guy that can move around as well as Jaden Daniels?
For sure. I think earlier in the year, we just kind of given up some leaky yardage to some quarterbacks. Mm. We kind of stopped that. But, you know, he a good runner. He doesn't want to run, but he proficient in it. You know, if you let him, you get him in yardage, he'll take off a 40. And however many you give him, he's going to take off on it. So, but he'll like to sit in a pocket, a clean pocket, so we got to muddy that up and make him nervous, make him a little jittery. It's hard to do. He's having a heck of a year, and shout out to that guy. But we got to come in and play our ball. And then, you know, it's Sunday night.
Well, this guy's balling out. He's our strong arm defensive player of the game. John Foy and Associates presents that to him. Strong arm player of the game. And hey, way to go, Matt.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Matthew Judon. Toto, I want to bring you into this conversation real quick. Because you remember when I asked you and Mike, could we get to 30 sacks? And you guys were like, no. And I said, well, what about 35? No. You guys didn't even think we could get to 25. We got 26 now, two games remaining. Now, the 30 is realistic. Now, don't get me wrong. We're still, you know, in the bottom third or bottom, you know, whatever of the league when you talk about Patriots, Jags, Titans, as far as sacks are concerned.
But you guys didn't even think we'd get here. Now do you think we could get to 35 is unrealistic. That's just about 9 sacks in 2 weeks. 34, 32, where are we at?
Carl.
Where are we at?
Can we stop putting lipstick on a pig?
What?
Stop acting like getting 30 sacks is like getting 60 sacks.
Oh, now who's being all negative? Can't we have a little positivity? Can't we just have, you know, why are you being pragmatic, Turtle? What are you being pragmatic for?
There's positivity, and then there's trying to slide down a rainbow to the pot of gold that has nothing in it, Carl Dukes. We should not be.
Tables have turned with the shoe on the other foot.
Yeah. We should be keep buying
your sacks matter, don't they?
Keep buying your Christmas presents over there, Zeno.
Listen, I'm broke.
All right, Carl. Here's the thing. Yes, we should celebrate the progress.
Yeah,
absolutely. Still not good enough. Come on.
I want you to remember that line. Celebrate the progress. Still not good enough. When it comes to the Penix conversation, okay. Go ahead. I want you to remember that.
Of course. Why does he have to bring it there?
Well, he's saying
you accuse me of being negative when I was, or being too pragmatic, and you're being the same thing right now. I'm not going to sit here and celebrate 30 sacks.
Zeno, why are you the way that you are, man?
A lot of people have asked that question.
I know.
I'll say this: the last 4 weeks have been really fun to watch with them getting after the quarterback. You've got multiple games now at 3 and 4, even 5 sacks. That's fun.
Well, let's see if they can get after a mobile.
This is tough.
Elite quarterback.
This is tough. You call him Jaden. Elite.
He used the E word, but Jaden Daniels a little aggressive.
I mean, he's good. I don't know if I'm putting him in the elite.
You should celebrate
class.
The progress of Jaden Daniels.
Did you watch the game yesterday?
No, he was great. He was great.
Did you watch the game yesterday?
He's got a very high ceiling.
He does. Here's the thing. He's winning games for the Commanders that over the years they've completely lost. And that's why you're thinking differently about them and him. All right. 26 sacks, by the way, if you're wondering. We're coming back. I mentioned we may be getting another dog. I'm going to talk about that. We're also going to tell you who's coming up on the show tomorrow. We have the coaches show at 6. And then we got Hawks because they're back in action tonight. Hawks taking on Minnesota. Pre-games at 7. Tips at 7:30. Mike Conte have the pre-half and post for you. It's Dukes and Bell. So there were blowouts, and a lot of you think these games were duds in the first round of the college football playoff. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Zeno, I want to get your take on this because we saw Clemson get blown out. It wasn't close. I mean, the final score is 38-24, but it wasn't that. We saw Ohio State demolish Tennessee 42-17.
Yeah,
the Penn State 38-10 against SMU, and people said SMU didn't deserve to be in. They also said Indiana didn't deserve to be in. Notre Dame 27-17. All right, here's the thing: there are always blowouts in these college football playoff games. There just is. Whether you go back to the BCS, whether you talk about the four teams that we just came from, or now the expanded playoff with 12, this is what happens. And I don't think it's indicative to say, "Oh, these teams weren't deserving to get in." Their resume said that they deserve to get in. Just because they got beat or got blown out again, and you go look at all these games. Do we forget Georgia beating the hell out of TCU in the national championship game?
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't fun. Well, it was. But, I mean, it wasn't if you weren't a Georgia fan. And so I just feel like a lot of people are blowing this out of proportion. What did you make of these first-round games?
I mean, your play inside the tournament doesn't devalidate your entrance into the tournament. It's the same thing with the NCAA tournament when you have teams on the bubble. Oh, they get beaten. Those two events are not connected. They're completely separate events. You know, there was no way to know who was going to play whom when the selection committee did it until the day that they did it, right? Like, you can't forecast that ahead of time. So I don't buy into anybody saying these teams didn't belong in. And the blowouts don't necessarily I mean, look, I was against expansion to begin with because I don't think you needed it. You know, none of the teams that lost had any real chance to win the national title anyway, right? And there are going to be four teams that lose between New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and guess what? They probably didn't really ever have a chance to win the national title, right? And I think you may be getting the national champion winner between Oregon and Ohio State, at least somebody who's going to play in the finals. Mm. That's my guess. So it didn't bother me. Other than the betting perspective of the whole thing, that bothered me a little bit. But nonetheless, I think that when you look at the teams that the 12-team playoff that got in, I think the committee's never gotten it wrong. They've never gotten it wrong.
Like, it's not their fault how teams perform once their resume says they deserve to
right,
be in.
That has nothing to do with it. They're not saying all these teams have a chance to win a national title. They're saying these are the 12 teams that got in the playoff, and that's it. And I can even only go back to the BCS. I think it was, what was it, 05, the year that Auburn, was it Auburn that won the title in 05? And there was one of the undefeated team. I think Clemson got left out. Other than that, between the BCS and all the way to now, they've never gotten it wrong. They've never gotten it wrong. So I don't have an issue with the committee and who should have got in and who didn't and everything else. And we talked to Connor Riley earlier. Yeah, Alabama beats Oklahoma. They're in the playoff.
They're in.
That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And
for the five that were left out, I mean, there are three that everybody talks about. It's Alabama, it's Miami, and it's Ole Miss, right? Those are the three that you say at the end of the year they're playing well, but they all had three losses. And that's why eventually I do think, and Connor said, it won't be next year, but you get another year of this, and then maybe you think about expanding to 16 or 18 or whatever it's going to be.
We're going to be even stupider with this whole thing?
Well, I do think
so that, now we could argue that Army should have been in 2 years?
Army, yeah. You're right.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly right. If you go to 18, Army's in too. So is South Carolina. There's your five, your extra five teams that should deserve to be in. 404-726-0929. You can always text us. It's Dukes and Bell as we talk about the college football playoffs. So now we know Georgia gets Notre Dame. We're going to spend a lot more time on this as the week goes on. But this is going to be an interesting game. And Connor Riley said to us today from Dog Nation, the offense is going to change a little bit. But it does because you have a different type of quarterback in there. And, you know, it's not going to be Carson Beck. But that could be a good thing for the Dogs. So Notre Dame lost their best defensive player. He's injured. He got hurt in that Indiana game. He led the team in sacks. He's one of their team captains. That's a big deal. I don't think you replace him. I'm not going to tell you the Dogs are going to rout them because of that. But it is a big deal for Notre Dame to try to replace his production on the field. Ohio State-Oregon is the other interesting game for me. You know, that they had a great game early in the season. I think it's right now Ohio State is a 2-point favorite in this game. And what about the seedings? Ohio State's not an 8th seed.
No.
Right?
That's the problem.
Oregon is the 1 seed. Obviously, they got a bye. Boise was a 3 seed. This needs to be reseeded now.
100%. I mean, again, now in reality, because Ohio State is the 8th seed, they're the lowest remaining seed, right? They would have played Oregon in a reseed world, but they should have never. They should have been a 5 seed to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? Or a 4 seed to begin with. I mean, you know. And in reality, again, was Georgia a 2 seed? If we've seen these, no, they're not. They're not the second best team in college football from that perspective. But they had to give byes to the two highest, you know, conference champions, and that's what happened. Yeah. So, I mean, I would have been a lot more curious to see how this worked out had they just seeded 1 through 12 with 4 automatic bids for and or 5 automatic bids for the best group of 5 champion and the 4 Power 4 champions. That would have been a little bit more interesting. I think you would have got a lot more. You know, competent games when you would have seen Arizona State play maybe Boise or whatever it was. You would have seen Clemson play, SMU again, like something like that. Like those games would have been a lot tighter and you would have gotten better first round action out of the whole thing and it would have been a lot more fun, which also would have made it a fait accompli once you got to the first round, the quarterfinals, because all those teams would have got their butts kicked by the top 4 teams in the country, right? So, I mean, all this stuff. You know, the debate is going to, no matter what you put it in, there's always going to be a debate of who should have been in and who should have been out. But the committee doesn't get it wrong. And if you do, if you think they do, you're just whining. You're a fan who's whining. That's all you really are.
Yeah. Let's see how these second round games go. We got to get out of the way. Coach's show's coming up. I will discuss my new edition coming up tomorrow. Turtle's going to join me tomorrow here on the show with
Mike. By the way, real quick.
Mike being out. What's up?
Imagine having the under in the Idaho Potato Bowl. The total for the game was 44.
Okay.
At the end of regulation, it's 13-13. It is now 28-20 in overtime.
Oh, that's brutal. That's brutal. How many overtimes? I can't see.
They're in the second overtime. Each team scored a touchdown in the first overtime. And then